Good time here planned for us today, this morning. Last week I sent some of you home that were here last week with a list of scriptures just to look at, and also a evaluation just to take a look at to see, as we think about this passage and the goals that God has for parents. We have eight essentials that we talk about. And I guess I would like to review as we start off, and then I'm going to pray briefly, if this can work. I think, Nathan, you got to get us started. And oh, I got it. Good. So these are the eight essentials based upon this passage. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I encouraged you to look at that last week. And some of you may or may not have gotten a manual, but we have enough here for everyone now. If you would like to have a manual, you can take one this morning, but we'd like you to put your name and email so we know who got it, phone number, just know who you are. Rob, the assistant, Rob Zimmerman at our office, he has it set up so that if any of you want to watch these in full, just call him. He'll give you a code. You go to the website, to the school, online school of biblical counseling, and watch these sessions more in full. This is more of a practicum. We're here to talk about how to do it more than what to do, but I hate that because I'm going to blend what to do with it. Because, you know, you guys aren't going to go watch all of this, but give you some essence of this at least, maybe a summary. But we looked at eight traits last week. And Jack is going to be handing out a handout just for today, so you have something in your hand. And you did it, he did it already. But these eight traits, if we start at the top, we have vertical goals. Now, this comes from raising them in the Lord, right? It's not just teaching them and disciplining them willy-nilly. It's in the Lord. It's a direction. So 1 Chronicles 28:9, David... Can anyone tell me when he said 1 Chronicles 28:9? Where was he at in his lifespan? This is David, a man after God's own heart. The end of Chronicles. So he's about to die. And who is he talking to in this passage? You get extra points. Solomon, yeah. Just this is a pop quiz. And this is what a man after God's own heart says to his children. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. He's teaching about God as he dies. And he's talking about how to respond to God as he dies. That's a very good thing for a man after God's own heart to speak of, isn't it, to his children. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he'll reject you forever. That was his last words. Then we have prayerful dependence. We have to depend on the Lord if we're going to raise children in the Lord, because we can't do that. We can't change hearts, but he can give them a heart for himself. And so, prayerful dependence, Psalm 127, and you guys maybe can finish this, unless the Lord, what? Builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. As you're praying for your children, I labor unless you build it. That is so critical. It's so different from the world. And how they look at child raising, even from where the power comes from. Not just the goal, but the power to achieve the goal. Unless the Lord guards the city. Think about your children and how much guarding we do. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman, that would be you and me as parents, if we're really trying to be alert, we stay awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early. Vain for you to rise up early. Sorry, let's not get up early, right? Sounds good to me. No, he's talking about the type of rising up early that isn't dependent on the Lord. You're rising up early because you've got your own goals and your own power. That's what you're doing. It's vain for you to do that. It's vain for you to rise up early and retire late, even go to bed late. Why are you going to bed late? I'm accomplishing my own goals and my own power. Okay, well, that's vain according to this passage. For he gives to his beloved... This is my favorite phrase. While he sleeps. The most unproductive activity you do is when he actually does his best work. If you have depended on him in the day, he does work for you at night. What do you think of that? That's a deal, isn't it? God, I'm going to depend on you in the day. Work for me at night. And you have to set my goals, because if my goals are too big, they're not your goals. You can't help me accomplish things that aren't yours. Right? Close companionship. What's that say? 1 Thessalonians, having thus a fond affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives. Paul said this, because you had become very dear to us. Your children need to know that they are your close companions. Godly example, 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere. If you do, you'll ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. Structuring the environment and consistent consequences, that is all about raising them in the discipline of the Lord. The discipline of the Lord is both structuring the environment and consistent consequences. And as I'm going through this, I hope you're evaluating how you did this week. Structuring the environment, he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all, and this is that famous word, keep your children under control with all dignity. You can't just start keeping them under control when you want to. There has to be sort of a consistency of what's the environment? How do they know we walk through this time? What do we think right now? What should we be doing during this time? And then consistent consequences, Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son. Now there's different forms of correction in the scripture, and this is one. God uses different forms, consequences, he uses circumstances. But he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Chris in a bit's gonna, I'm gonna interview Chris Hawk. I'm gonna interview some of you parents. You don't know it, so you might not want to come next time. I'm gonna interview you, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'll let you know ahead of time. You can say no. But I think it's important that we talk about these eight essentials as they relate with where we're at. Not where we want to be, but also based on where God wants us to be. And so we talk about consistent consequences. God-centered conversations and gentle correction, those are words. They're not action. They're bringing them up in the instruction of the Lord. You're talking about God and about life, different topics, right? Appropriate to their age, wherever he can. Like Jesus, as he's walking along and he sees a bird, and what does he say? This is Jesus raising his 12. I see a bird and I say, do not worry. Well, that's an interesting application. And I remember Richard Hartnett, Dr. Richard Hartnett, who was in one of our classes, he said, you know, an evolutionist couldn't do that. They see a bird and they say, where'd that come from? You know, try to figure it out. We see a bird and we say, God takes care of that bird. I should stop worrying. See how Jesus raises his kids in a God-centered conversation? Right? And it makes sense. It doesn't make them lazy. It doesn't make them over-reliant on where they say, God, you do it. No, he says, seek first the kingdom, and God will take care of you just like that bird. Gentle correction is when they're getting it wrong. What do you do then? 2 Timothy says, the Lord's bondservant must not quarrel, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. And here it is, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And when you're raising children or you yourself are growing, you have to be brought to a place of repentance. How often? So you think your children don't need that too, right? Well, how do you do that at a 2-year-old, right? 3-year-old or 5-year-old level? How do you get them sensitive to the things of God? So the bondservant of the Lord, how he does it is he doesn't quarrel. You hear this? He doesn't quarrel. He's kind to all. He knows how to use the word appropriate. And he's patient when he's wronged by that little urchin. You know what I mean? And he gently corrects, hoping God will say, change. This is ugly. You don't want to be ugly. I got better for you. That they'll come to their knowledge of senses and escape the snare of the devil. So these are great verses to post up and memorize. And they all are built on Ephesians. Now, this is the last quiz. I'm going to pray. Here's the quick quiz. So vertical goals, where does that come from in this passage here? What's the phrase that gives us the sense, okay, we've got to have vertical goals if we're going to do this verse? What do you see? There's a name mentioned in there. Lord, yeah. It's got to be of the Lord, right? And prayerful dependence. By the way, you get one for one. Okay, yeah, you're in there. Of the Lord, vertical goals, but prayerful dependence. Where do we get that from in this verse? This is the only trick question in the eight essentials, okay? I'm going to get this one out of the way. You can't raise them in the Lord without prayer. You can't. It's not going to happen unless the Lord builds and your prayers are effective. So last week, I think I sent you with a sheet that said prayers for your child. If I didn't, I've got one here. But we're going to talk about that in a bit. How about the phrase close companionship? Close companionship. Where's that in this verse? Where's that theology of we need to be close to those we disciple if we're going to raise them? I know this is good that you're thinking. Let the wheels turn. And you're no wrong answer, okay? I can say it's wrong, but it can be right for you in this way, okay? You may fix it. You can fix it. What does it mean? Bring them up. This is in the Greek, this is nourish to maturity. That is a close connection. Vine branch. Right? And in Psalm 128, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine around your table, olive shoots, right? So there's that picture theologically in the scripture that if we're going to disciple, we're going to have to be with them. We're going to have time with them, right? Companionship. How about godly example? Where's that one come from? In this Ephesians 6:4. Say again. What's that?
Instruction.
No, but it's close, but it's anger. Because you can provoke them to anger by how you treat them, right? Your example of how you treat people, how you treat situations. And remember last week I said the idols that you have in your heart as parents will become the idols that they either serve or they build their own idols to fight against yours. If you are a lazy person, then they will be hardworking. It's reverse psychology, right? If you're hardworking, they may say, I'm never going to do that. If it's all about money for you, it's going to be all about giving away everything they got, you know? If you say take care of everything in the world and you're inordinate about that, you're idolizing perfection, they may be very against possessions, right? We just react. This is why parents, if they struggle with anorexia, let's say, right? Their kids will often resurrect those same idols, and they too will struggle with anorexia because it was all about outward. It was all about how you look. Or they will fight against it and do maybe bulimia or some kind of trouble with eating, right? It's just our idols compete. And so we have to have a godly example or they're going to serve the God of their parents or resurrect a new God to fight against it, right? They rebel against the Lord. Okay, so we have then bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. That's structured and consistent consequences, and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. That's God-centered conversation and gentle correction. So I just want to lay that out for you to help you see that parenting can be summarized in this verse with eight traits. Let me just pray real quick before we go further. Lord, help us today in this time as we talk about just parenting and what it looks like from your perspective. These eight traits help us to understand at least the theology behind them so that we can begin to try to practice it more and more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I asked Chris to be our first contestant.
This morning on the way.
Yeah, I said, Chris, come on. So Chris is going to come up. And if you don't know Chris and his family, he has 17 children. No, not really.
Almost sit down.
You can sit down. Yep. So you have five boys and one girl. And oldest is my son's age,
23.
And youngest is?
10.
10, yeah. And he and I share something in common. He has a 10-year-old, and he's turning 53 this year. I have an 11-year-old, and I'm turning 54. So I want you to watch, you know. We'll see how we do, because it's harder when they get older, huh? But Chris, of these 8 traits that we were looking at, and we can go through different thoughts on these. We don't have to go through everyone, but what is your, what do you think to you has been the most important one?
Well, first of all, when we had Christopher, we thought we knew it all. We had taken all the parenting courses, and we were going to raise him right. Well, that kind of backfired. But you learn as you go, and they're all different. But prayerful dependence, and I don't think it was as we do pray for our kids, but I can tell you, my mother, Grammy, prays a lot. I can remember when I was a kid going to prayer meetings with her and other ladies, and Diane Murray and Miss Stelling, who was the first pastor, it was his sister of this church. She used to pray for me, especially growing up. And then just how, I mean, my mom prays with a lot of people, so prayerful dependence. And then close companionship and godly example, I think, because structured environment, I'm not a planner, I'll tell you that. I fail at that one. But if I could just say, I wrote down close companionship. I have boys, and boys like to do. You know, like we talked about earlier, they don't like to talk a lot. They like to do. And people, I mean, I can go through each one, and I will real quick. And Christopher read harder. He has a Bible study. He's invited him and Emily. He spends time with him. I mean, and I agree, it takes a village in some aspects, because I can't do it all. We can't do it all. Michael Mott, he looked up to, had him in youth group. If you look, he took him to apologetics conferences. Clayton, Jonathan Compton has taken him hunting numerous times and spent time with him. And my guys eat it up. Caleb, Zach Hale, he loves sports, and he has spent time with him. Anna, or her mother, and Leanne Hale has spent time with her. Curtis, Uncle Curtis Boston. So, I mean, each one of them. Carson, he loves Red Harder's Sunday school class. He loves it, talking about, Dad, we're going to play paintball. You know, and even like Mitch, he talks to Mitch. He loves Mitch's Gladiator, his Jeep Gladiator. In fact, Mitch a couple of weeks ago gave him a little Gladiator car, and he was thrilled with that. So, I mean, it's been CHBC that has helped so much. I mean, it's not been us.
So 2, 3, and 4,
yeah.
God really been faithful to Chris in raising his sons. Without 2, 3, and 4 happening, he is saying it wouldn't be very much success.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you just said structured environment. You think you get maybe a C on that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Consequences. I was great on some of the earlier ones. Carson, I let him go a little bit. I'm finding that the older I get,
this is 10-year-old, right?
Hey, but listen. You know, I was talking about in the service, do as I do. You know, I mean, they're looking at you, right? Well, I take notes. Guess what Carson was doing when I came back today? He had his paper and he had a pencil and he took notes the whole sermon. So he sees me doing that, and that's just a little thing that encourages me that, hey, he's taking notes. He's actually listening rather than drawing. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I was really encouraged today for that.
So that's the godly example. When your kids watch you, it says pay close attention to what you do and what you say. Persevere in it, taking notes, whatever it is, they watch, right? I remember Isaac when he was real little, he got my Bible out after, because he would see me write my Bible. Do you write in your Bible?
No, I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I write in my Bible.
I don't like so, things messy.
Yeah, well, I'm okay. I just like to see it all. And
OCD.
Jack loves to write in his Bible.
But, yeah, I know.
But he got a hold of my Bible at 4 or 5, and he started writing, and he scribbled all through the thing, and it was terrible. And I had to clean it up. But I got marks in my Bible from him. But yeah, they watch, right? There's some
good and the bad.
Yeah, there's some fundamental things. And a lot of times parenting manuals do focus on the methods and not the person, the parent. You know, who are we?
And they're all different. All different.
Yeah. Yeah. So structuring the environment, consistent consequences, God-centered conversations.
And I think that comes more. I talk a lot when I'm up here, but when I'm one-on-one with my kids, I'm not like Pastor is great about, and we learned this early about taking his kids out and talking with him. I'm not good at that. Now, if we're hunting or we're doing something together, that's when it leads to more conversation. I'm just not going to sit down. I don't sit down a lot, just talk. I mean, we have devotions and times that we read together and pray and stuff like that. But for my boys, most of the time, they don't say a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You know what would be really good is next week, and this just came to mind as you're talking, to see if your mom would come up and talk about it. She says, no way, she ain't going to do it. I'd like to hear how she was an example for you guys.
Prayed a lot.
There is always God at work when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's us many times that is the problem, right? And again, B minus or better. C is okay, but, you know, try to get up there. You were saying yesterday you took someone.
We ran out. He'll sit there and play video games all day, and I don't deal with that because I'm an outdoor person. And now he likes outdoor stuff too, but it's funny because the bookends. Christopher loved that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He loves that, and then so did Carson. But I'm not much of indoor, and I have to watch him. I got to get him out there to play basketball and do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went. We were together going actually to drop something off at the dump. I'm like, Lord, is there anything I should say? Should I listen? How are you doing, Carson? Fine. You know, so he's not going to.
So I just want to say, do you have those thoughts that run through your head? That's good. When you're driving, you're sitting there, what should I say? What should I do? Don't get nervous about it. But, you know, as you're thinking about it, and you didn't come up with anything great to say, right?
I didn't. He was with me, and I felt like the more he can be with me, and the more we can do things together, and it's that close companionship. It's just, you know, I just, when he's with me, he was playing basketball the other day, and I went out and shot baskets with him, which I don't do that as much because you get busier the older you get. You know, I think you've got it all down, but I struggle with it. I got to spend time with him.
Yeah.
And like him and Curtis went over to Grammy's last night. You know, let's go over and see Grammy. And so it's great to spend time with other people.
Yeah. That's a lot to even start praying about there as you're thinking about raising children and how to do it. Lord, help me to be sensitive to conversations, but help me not to be worried about it. They don't need to see a ring in your hands like they're trying to control me. You know, like, no, this is just about a relationship. And you're trying to bear fruit like a vine does to a branch. Anything else? I just wanted to go through it and see. Of all those things, though, you told me prayerful dependence would be,
yeah,
and people praying for his children. And you've got a lot of prayer warriors here at this church. Let them know how to pray for your kids, because God answers prayers sometimes in spite of you. You have weaknesses like I do and Chris does in your parenting. You do.
Yeah, and I think that early on, we've got away from this. I haven't done it with Curtis, but when the kids turned, my boys turned 13, everyone except Curtis, the men had a get-together, and they all wrote down stuff on cards about advice they have learned. And I wanted to do it with Curtis. We never did. Now he's, you know, getting older. But we need to do that again, because that was great. He had a journal. They gave each one of my boys a journal. I know some of your kids probably did too, but that was good. They turned 13, talked about being a man, and gave advice that they had learned, and that was good.
Yeah. That's why we have this class, to get some of these things resurrected too, not let them die. So, Chris, thanks. We'll probably have you back sometime here. Hopefully. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Prayerful dependence. Mm-hmm. I know I'm really trying to be more conscious of my prayer life. When you pray for your children, and a lot of times they're asleep, and I go over and I pray over them, but should I have them praying for them with me, or just praying for them while they're not there? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can I say both?
Both.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'll pray that you follow God's way.
Yeah, pray over them out loud. And then I ask my kids to pray, and I'll say, why don't you say to God what is great about him? And why don't you say something you're thankful for? And then if you have done something wrong, let's ask him to forgive you for that. And then after that, let's pray for people, you know, in the church that may need help, or in the neighborhood that need the Lord, or going through times. And then we'll pray, and they'll be like, what was I supposed to say? Well, right now, say something great about God. Okay. God, you're great. Now, you know, maybe there's something about God being great, you know. But then hearing us pray helps. Yeah. All right, you've got a handout. I just want to try to... This is the summary of what you can listen to more in full online if you call Rob and let him know. But you have... I had it here. Here I am again. I had an extra copy here with me, so I saw what you guys were looking at. But I think I can do this without that. Hold on just a second, because I've got... So... Yeah, I would. I think I better. I'm flying blind here. Yeah, thank you. Oh, he's got one there for you now. Yeah. Okay, so just look at slide number 5. We'll just go there. So on slide 5... sorry, guys. I think I went too far. This is the right thing, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Should be right there, right? And so there's some insights. Children are to be trained to obey and honor. So obey is a potential outward behavioral. And honor is more of an attitude of the heart. So when we think about bringing children up in the Lord, they are told to hear, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is the verse just before Ephesians 6:4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And this is a great verse to build your discipline on. We'll talk about that more in future times. But this tells children, I'm going to motivate you as God motivates us. If you honor your father and mother, God makes a promise to you. And if we took a survey of all the children who honored their parents, even if parents weren't always dishonorable, but their attitude towards them was maybe pray, just like we're to pray for kings, even if they're bad kings, we pray that God will help share with them the truth, so let them see. What do they turn out to be? Well, anger is a foothold of the devil, and honor protects us from that kind of anger against authorities. We can go to God with that. So we honor them in the attitude of our heart. Sometimes we can't obey a bad king. The only time you disobey is if they're asking you to do something wrong. But children to be trained to obey. It's a focus on behavior and honor, focus on the heart. And the training is to be in the Lord and of the Lord. You can see that play on words that Paul is making in Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Right? And bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that is to be the gravity. So we look at that as a goal. Our goal is to be training them in the Lord. And it's a God-centered goal that we have for that. Then the Westminster Shorter Catechism, if you're not familiar with that, it's good to look at that at times. But it says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the way that we talk about the whole Bible's goal for the people of God, is that we would glorify Him in what we do, right? And everything. And enjoy Him. Right? What a great picture. The two chief ends of man. Now, I like to put in there the word by. Glorify God by enjoying Him forever. God is good. Right? And therefore, we glorify a good God. And when we do, we experience good. That's just the way it has to be. So if you think about what does it mean to glorify God, what does it mean to enjoy God? I think we're talking about behavior, and we're talking about what's going on in your heart. And so we're not just interested in conformity, but transformation. And that's really important as we think about training. children in the Lord. So ultimately, a child's obedience and honor to parents is to prepare them for a life of obedience and honor to the Lord. I am temporary. So are you in the life of my child. In fact, we won't even be married in heaven, right? We will depart from each other. We will stop having an influence on each other. It's temporary. Children are with us roughly, give or take a few years, until 18, right? Depends on how long they stick around. But that is progressive. That growth is progressive. We are a temporary tool, and it looks more like this. Baby to adult, if you look at age 0 to age 18, okay? We're just going to use that as a number. But there is a decrease in your impact on your children in terms of direct. And there's an increase of what we might think of indirect. In what you have done for the last 18 years will continue to speak to them and go with them. But let me just write some of this down here. And this is, may not erase so well. But if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we're to bring them up in two things. And if you guys can tell me what those two things are. Bring them up in what? What's that?
Nurture
and admonition. Yeah. NA or an ESV, I think, says discipline. You bring them up in discipline of the Lord and in instruction of the Lord, okay? So we've got discipline and we've got instruction. And can you think of those two things as... discipline, we do discipline, that's less and less in their life, isn't it? I have less control of their environment till I have no control of their environment, and I have less control of giving them consequences till I have no control of giving them consequences. And now I yield to the civil authorities, or I yield to the church authorities as a brother in Christ, right? God, divine consequences now will be ruling in their life, not me. I don't have that. So there's a decrease of discipline from you, but there's an increase of what? Instruction, right? I remember when Isaac was in the first child. I'd say a lot about Isaac because you remember that so crystal clear. It was your first, right? He's like, whoa. My wife disciplined Isaac when he was, what, a year and a half old? Now, it wasn't major discipline, but he was kicking against her while she was trying to change his diaper. And she just let him know who was boss in a kind, gentle way, I'm sure. But he knew it. And I'm sitting there, and I said, honey, you can't let him get slap a sly there like that. He's too little. No, he knows what he's doing. And she's right. He knew what she was doing. He was doing. That's what we start off with, right? A lot of discipline. Now, could she sit there and say, let me tell you the Westminster Shorter Catechism, honey. I'm going to teach you to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God is good. You shouldn't kick against me. You know that. Look at Dad. Look at Mommy. Mommy gives you everything you need. Why would you kick against me? I love you. Now, he wouldn't hear any of that, right? Now, he might hear the tone, but I guarantee it was discipline necessary in order to instruct later. And so if this doesn't happen effectively, if your discipline isn't effective, what happens later is you can't really instruct like you would want to, right? Now, your discipline, here's the hard thing. It's got to be combined with what Chris was talking about, prayerful dependence, godly example. You can't be angry and do that. That'll push them away, right? So you've got to stick with the Spirit's way. But there's other things here that if you start to think about it, all of parenting, God has put this on a continuum where they cross, and you're going to let them go at some point. And children are to obey and honor, right? Think of that for a minute as we look at this chart. I'm notorious for leaving pens everywhere. Here we go. So here is, for children, they are to obey and honor, right? Do you see how that would cross? Do you see how Mommy and Daddy tell you, you have to eat your peas, you have to eat your corn, you got to eat the sauerkraut, you got to eat those things, you got to. And if you don't, discipline. And then they get a little older and they say, was that wise, what Mom and Dad told me to do? Are they overall a wise person who loves us? Do they have a gentle wisdom about them? Is it winsome? Does it really produce something good in my life if I obey? That causes them to want to honor you. They look and they say, okay, I don't obey rules anymore. I follow wisdom now. I honor them. You see what I'm saying? And we can put this on different levels. You can't see this well. This is, we go from them being, we are kind of God to them in one sense at the beginning. Dad is in control, and then God has to be in control. It's temporary. We go from being in control to being an influence. We go from discipline to instruction. We go from obey to honor. We go from, in our relationship with God, from us fearing him to us loving him. Do you see how that works? Grace taught my heart to what? Fear God. You did not get saved simply because you looked at the cross and said, Jesus loves me. You looked at the cross and said, my sin is ugly. I deserve condemnation. I fear condemnation. I need forgiveness. And then the love made sense. So there is a fear, a healthy fear of a dad or a mom that then moves into a love for them, right? I'm sure that when my wife spanked Isaac just briefly, a little bit, with her hand on his thigh, that he got a sense of fear. Don't do that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's not the end. So if you're using fear and you think fear is going to last your whole parenting, you got a mistake there. Ain't going to happen. They have to start thinking, no, I feared dad and mom, but now I honor and love them because they do good. They have produced good. They don't walk around and are unattractive and unbecoming and irritable. They're good. They're good. You have a habit. Let me just add some more up here. Here's what I say to parents of teenagers. I say, when you are raising a toddler or a grade school child, you are the police. You're the traffic control cop, right? And when they get into high school years, you know what you become more and more? The Supreme Court. And that's the way I visualize, Tim, if you're doing a good job with your children, when they get into those teen years, you're not traffic copping so much. You're not policing. But what you are doing is you're weighing in as the authority, as needed. And it may be more than, you may be a lower court. It just becomes less and less necessary, right? These are some thoughts to keep in your mind as we progress from, like we said, baby to adult, and knowing that we are a temporary tool. So I always say, rest later, work now, right? And Chris has got a 10-year-old, I have an 11-year-old. I know some of you may have a bigger spread with your kids, but I'm just saying, as you get older, you have less energy. You know, there's just this, and Chris even said my very words. He said this morning we were talking, I'm not doing as much with my younger ones now that I used to do with the older ones, so I have to get ramped up. So that's what we'll encourage each other to do that. You have to work at that. Here's the other stuff. Clarification of the primary goal. Here's what I would say is a good way to say what the parenting goal is to train them to obey the Word of God, motivated for a heart for the God of the Word. So we want to train them to obey the Word of God, motivated by a heart for the God of the Word. And as we think of that, there are some great verses to support that, starting with Abraham. Said that he was chosen that he would command his children to keep the way of the Lord, and do righteousness and justice. And that's very important to understand that God has raised us up to help our children be trained to obey the Word of God, which means that they will do it out of, let me get to this verse here, they will do that, they become accustomed, the Bible says. Accustomed, they'll have their senses trained in verse 14 to discern good and evil. And that's what we see happen when children are trained to obey the word of the Lord. Here's what Lou Pirola says. The word accustomed means a habit or practice that has become second nature. What Christ-like or un-Christ-like thoughts or actions are second nature to you or your children. These are your character traits. You're known by these. So they become second nature. How would your children describe your character? dad is, both good and bad, what would they say? Dad has a tendency to this. Mom has a tendency to that. Avoid those bad areas and say, I need to be trained by the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that more. Here's eight traits. Again, these are things that I can send you. We have this chart at home. When Aaron was trying to raise our children and I was gone, I would say, honey, just use the Word in training. Got to use the Word to train, to help them to think about it. And she'd say, that's great. That's easy to say when you're counseling, sitting down, counseling in a controlled environment, opening the Bible. Let us look at these things. You know, and here I am on the fly, and Isaac saying this, or Becca saying that. What verses do I use? So I said, all right, well, let's sit down, and we'll get these eight traits. Let's find some verses, and let's use these verses, and let's say, what is to our children, what are the actions that God is calling for here? And what is the motivations? We'll talk about them. For instance, did you know that those who are sent by one and they're not faithful are like vinegar to the eyes? Have you ever, or vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes? Have you ever had smoke in your eyes? So, honey, if you're not faithful, it's like smoke in your eyes. And God says that if you are faithful, He will reward you with higher. Remember when we were teaching, still teaching the kids to do the dishwasher. Anyone have a dishwasher teaching your kids to unload and load? Isn't that great when that happens for the first time? You don't have to do as much work like that, right? But we would say Matthew 25:40. If you're faithful with a few things, God will make you ruler over much. And so I want you to unload like you could be the president of the United States tomorrow. It's up to God how high you go. So we would give training, character qualities, not be lazy, in light of God, right? Never just a moral law, but a motivation in the Word. Now, I did tell you I was going to get to the heart of the matter here, the four attributes of God, and some of you are wanting me to. I can't really do that in detail, but we'll pick it up here next week. But here are the four attributes of God that I would encourage you to be thinking about as you say, how do we train our children in light of God to not just be guided, but be motivated, right? When they're complaining, when they're arguing, when they're angry, when they're disrespectful, what do they need to know about God? And the four things that I think are critical is that God is a righteous judge. And if you want to do Psalm 7:11, build on that. It says God is a righteous judge. He's angry every day. That's a harsh thing about God, isn't it? But we start there. God is a judge. Therefore what? I need to stop complaining in His presence. I need to stop judging others in His presence. I need to stop having anger and let Him deal with those things. He will take care of things. God is a righteous judge. God is a sovereign king. Psalm 153, God is a sovereign king. What it says in Psalm 153 is that He does whatever He pleases with the sons of men. What a great picture of God. He does whatever He pleases. So trust Him. Fear Him. The third thing is God is a loving Father, a good Father. He's a good Father. There's so many passages about God being a good Father and how He doesn't spare His own Son. Will He not give us all things? Romans 8:32. God is a good Father. Therefore, He's the fountain of every blessing. Any good coming in your life is going to come from Him. He's a judge, He's a king, He's a father. Lastly, He's a wise creator. He works all things out for good to those who love Him. He works all things together for good to those who love Him. And Romans 8:28, what a great verse. There's God's wisdom on display. And we know that God causes all things. So God will work all. So I could tell to Naomi, when Naomi is struggling with a decision where maybe she doesn't get to play volleyball as much at school or basketball, and it's sad. You know, there's some sad times in your kids' lives where they were moving forward in something and then the rug God pulled out from under them. What do you do when that happens? You can look at them and say, God is a wise creator. What that means, He's your dad too. Whatever's happening is tailored for your future good. We're going to wait on Him and trust in Him. So Romans 8:28. Those four qualities of God, okay, can go a long way as we focus on those. And when you read through your Bible, point them out. They're there. They're all over the place in Scripture. And those four qualities If God gives your son and daughter comprehension further progressively through you, you know what will happen? Same thing that happened to you. There's four, and these are the last four things I'm going to give you. There's four responses to God that those truths generate. And this is the most important thing, that if we get these in our kids, this is the goal, this is the bullseye. If they, number one, fear the Lord, right? If they fear him more than anybody else, the loss of anything else is secondary compared to who he is and what he can do. I fear him because he's sovereign king, he's judge, he's father, like I fear a father. Two, I trust him. I trust him because he will do good to me in the end. I trust him, right? These are called spiritual affections. They change your choices in life. They change your heart. Third thing is I love him, right? I love God, devoted to him. And the fourth thing is hope in him. I develop a hope in him. Those four things, fear, trust, love, and hope, build your bullseye in parenting around those things. All the conversations, all the prayers, all the exampling, all the discipline, all the instruction is, how can I get that in them? Don't be overwhelmed. These are the foundations. We're going to build into those some practices. And again, Aaron, would you just take these, and if you go to the back, if people want to grab a book, they can call Rob, and just get your number. Rob will call you, make sure you get the way to get on it. If you got one last week...